It is Monday morning. It is time to check in with our good friend, Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning, Andy. You caught me going through the Bible here. Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's a good
amazing
thing.
Amazing grace. And I don't want to keep singing or your listeners will eventually turn me off. So I just, what can I say? You know, it's a nice day today. So all days in Christ are good. I know people hear that from us Christians, but I think, and I said this, and I'm going to repeat this again, because I think most of your listeners are used to Bob Weiss repeating things. My guitar, when I bought this Fender a long time ago, it's a three, for you guitar people, it's a three single coil pickup, American-made Fender. And the fellow who helps me take care of it in this music shop in Swing City in Edwardsville, Illinois, every time I go in, he's a Christian young man, he says, it's all good. I said, what do you mean it's all good? Well, it's all good in God. It's all good. I never seen this man angry, upset, or anything like I do get, but it's all good. So anyway, so I'm gonna bring in something that is really not all good, and it's been in the newspaper here recently, in fact, in several places. There is a website I've mentioned on the radio once called bioedge.com, which brings people up the snuff on what's happening in the area of biomedical ethics. It's not a Christian-based, but it is secular, but it also is very honest about its approach to some of the issues that are confronting us these days. And this also brings in the Wall Street Journal. And I want to bring in the Wall Street Journal because this has to deal with surrogacy issues in Cambodia and surrogacy issues in India. And there are stories in here, the uncertainty for couples using foreign surrogates. Foreign surrogates are paid approximately anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000. In the United States, a surrogate will pay, well, basically the average is $100,000 to $250,000 in the United States. So the surrogacy issue is something where two things can occur. You have your child created in a petri dish using the husband's sperm and the wife's oocytes or eggs. And then those are implanted into a third party, a surrogate, a substitute womb, basically. And then after 38 to 42 weeks, you have that individual, that child born, and then legally given back to the mom and the dad. Or you could have a mother who you could use the father's seed, the sperm, and put into the mother's womb who's been prepared for a fertilization, and then she may conceive naturally but still bear that child as a third party. That's a surrogate. It means substitute person. But what's happening is that people are going overseas, primarily now to Cambodia and to India, for surrogacy because it's very, very inexpensive for the women over there, the native Cambodians and native Indians, to become surrogates. Well, at the end of all of this, Andy, the governments are starting to shut this down. And so the women who now are carrying children for American citizens, husbands and wives, or let me put it this way, partners, then they are allowed to carry these children full term and to give those children, return those children to the parents. The difficulty, of course, is that they're not able to return those leftover frozen human beings. Those are going to stay in Cambodia, and those are going to stay in India. That's the current look right now in these two countries. So my suggestion is that this type of story is becoming more of an issue since it's been located in newspapers that I have in front of me and magazines, that people need to go back to the scriptures and read Genesis 15 and Genesis 16 about Abraham, Hagar, the surrogate substitute. And only in that situation, of course, Abraham, it says, laid with Hagar, and she conceived and bore a son. Now, I will just say that the Hebrew in this, in Genesis chapter 16, between Sarah, or Sarai, and Hagar, and because Sarah's the one that told Hagar to go into Abraham and lie with him, and she says this, go into my servant. This is Sarah talking to Abram, and it may be that I shall obtain a child by her. With the Hebrew that I have learned says, may I be built up by this child. So she wanted to have her name made.
Mm-hmm.
I know this gets into infertility issues, and that is a huge issue. We do deal with this in my family. So I'm not trying to say that I don't understand, and I don't understand infertility, but surrogacy clearly is outside the pale of the one flesh union marriage.
We think when we have technology, we see technology and knowledge that we have as a blessing. You know, that as we have science, we have knowledge, new developments in medicine and technology that we consider blessings. The question then is, where is the line? When is it no longer medicine and more of us? When is it idolatry and we're trying to be God or take the place of God?
Well, we have to go back, obviously, to Adam and Eve when they decided to circumvent, we'll use a football term here for you football people, an end around the Lord's words that said, you know, don't eat of this fruit of the tree of knowing good and evil. Because in that day you do that, you will surely die. And then, of course, Satan comes in while Eve and Adam are standing around looking at God's beautiful creation. And he says to Eve, well, did God really say that if you eat this fruit, you take this fruit and eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowers of good and evil? Well, they go, well, I think so. I'm not sure. So the whole issue of separating them from God and worship, he succeeded. They fell into sin and so forth. So the line that we have to kind of look at, and people are used to drawing lines in the sand, is that God made Adam and Eve. They are one flesh, and that means flesh in the real sense. And he said, you know, you stick together. This is the way it has to be. And if it is God's will for the procreation of a child, or certainly the adoption of a child, or maybe even foster parenting as for a child. So one has to work within that. And if the science of, say, surrogacy doesn't fit into the scriptural mandates of the Lord that children are given as a blessing, then it should not be attended to. So therefore, we know from Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah that whole issue of surrogacy, even though some people say, well, come on, that's an exception. No, God does not make the exception the rule. Hmm. And we're not trying to turn the Bible into a rule book, but clearly he has stated what marriage is all about and what procreation is all about and adoption within that pale of one flesh union.
Right. We don't want to live just by the letter of the law. We want to understand the spirit of the law. What is it? We know that the law was made for man, not man for the law. But we want to understand what is God's intention, what is God's hope, his plan for us, and to live accordingly, to live as he would have us live.
Yes, I mean, you know, people want to say, well, what was his motive? Mm-hmm. And you brought up the very important word purpose, because in Genesis 1:26-27, there is a purpose clause, you know, let us make man our image and our likeness. And usually this is not translated in any English language text I've seen. And they usually put a period after that. And then they say, let us make man. Well, basically, so that they may have dominion. There is a purpose behind the making of the man and the woman. They are a man and a woman. They are an Ish and an Isha in Hebrew. They are a husband and they are a wife. And this is God's blessing to humanity, is to be within, as you have said, the spirit of what God has laid out before us. Because we know what else he says about going outside the pale of marriage. Look at David, Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite, and so forth, how Satan tempts us to do those things. And we are not to give in Satan, as Luther says, where Christ is, Satan cannot be. So we have to constantly be reminded that we are redeemed creatures of body and soul.
Hmm. And that, we are reminded of that as we hear his word, as we receive his good gifts.
Yes, all the time. And I think people on Sunday, they say, well, I've heard this over and over again. Well, good. I'm glad about that deal. I mean, we know we keep talking about repeating, but the gospel is so powerful. As we know, in Romans 1, it says the power of God unto salvation. The word power there in Greek is dynamite, dynamis. And so think about that. And I don't want to, you know, reference what happened over in Paris, but let's face it, the gospel is very, very powerful. When it converts an unbeliever to believer, that is the most powerful lesson that we can learn from the work of the Holy Spirit through the means of grace.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Anything else as we wrap up?
Well, I'm going to save it for the next go-around because we're going to probably get into another issue here that is impacting, I think, certainly our society, and that is transgenderism. And how are we as Christians to respond to that, and especially within the context of the public and Christian day schools?
Certainly, we hear that quite a bit in news, in mainstream media, even in entertainment today as well.
Oh, it's all over the place, and I think we need to take a look at this from the standpoint of God's creative work, creator-creature paradox that we have there, so that we understand this is not acceptable to the Lord and His Word.
All right, well, it'll be a good conversation, I'm sure. Thank you, Dr. Weiss. Have a blessed week.
My pleasure. To you and your listeners.